Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform lives.
You know, after the announcement just now, I want to say that you've got to live by biblical principles, and Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow, let tomorrow take care of itself. So I'm not chairman until the day comes, so until now, Chia still has to do all the roles that he's supposed to do, okay? I'm going to sit back and enjoy the rest of the months that I still have. Okay, you know, as we come to the end of the Proverbs sermon series, we are going to address something that's very close to our heart, and that is money. So the title of the sermon today is Show Me the Money. Now before that, can anyone here shout out to me the name of the what's the name of the show that this sermon title comes from? Anybody? Jerry Maguire. How many have actually watched Jerry Maguire before? Can we show a hand? Oh, not many, huh? For those who have not watched, let me tell you a little bit about the story, okay? So the gist of the story is a typical Hollywood, I suppose it's a romance story. So there's this hotshot sports agent. So this is Jerry Maguire by Tom Cruise, who really focused on money only, right? And one day he realized that he was actually taking advantage of athletes because, and instead of helping them, he's actually using them to enrich himself because, you know, that's how the system works. And when he realized that, how meaningless his work was and the folly of the things that he was doing, he wrote this long vision and mission document and shared it with his company, his bosses, his colleagues. And while everybody said, yes, it's great, this is wonderful, actually, that got him fired because they said that, no, while that is all good, it is not good for the company's bottom line. Right? Sounds familiar? Now, of course, he faces a lot of difficulty, but there was one staff there that believed in his vision and decided to follow him. And he managed to get one client who asked him that, you got to show me the money, right? Show me the money so that I will continue, I will let you to be my agent. So obviously, this is a Hollywood movie. Things go south and everything turns back all right again. And at the end of it, everything was good. He managed to do what he wanted to do and be a good sports agent. And of course, that is not just the sports agent part, right? There was also the love story element behind it. And at the end of it, Tom Cruise turned to the person that really helped him. And, you know, they fall apart and then they started to come back again. And he said a very famous line again. Anybody can shout out to me what's that line was? What's that? You got me a hello. Oh, just before you got me a hello. You complete me, right? Yes, you complete me. So it's a very nice show to watch. I just watched it again just last month. And I think everybody should watch this show. I think it's quite a fun show. Now, this year has been a very special year. For years, you know, there are very few sermons about money. This year, this will be the third sermon about money, right? We had already had two other sermons, one from Pastor Jeremy on tithing and offering, that was in the first half of this year. And then we have now our elder Chi Wai, who shared about giving, that was 2 months ago. So today it's not going to be about giving or tithing. We are going to focus on our relationship with money and why do we measure so many of our aspects of life with money? You know, everything was measured in terms of money. So we're going to explore that through the books of Proverbs. Heavenly Father, we just pray, O Lord, that the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth, O Lord, will bring you glory. May the words, O Lord, help us to understand what money is, O Lord, and help us to serve only you as a single master. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Okay, let's start by getting all of us on the same page. First thing first, what is money? I will use the IMF definition, okay? So money can be anything that can serve as anything like means. You can use seashells or whatever that can serve as a store of value, which means people can save it, use it later to allow them to purchase things over time. It's also a unit of account that is provided a common base for prices that everybody agrees, yes, they agree that this is the same value across. It's a medium of exchange that allows people to use and buy and sell from one another. So in short, money is a form of currency. We use it for exchange of goods, services that we need in our daily lives, right? Money is just a tool we use daily. And because it is a tool, money must be our servant, something we use. Now, I would like to suggest that I think you have heard, some of you have heard, maybe you have not. You should tune in to our Elder Chi-Wai's sermon on the 21st July, 2024, right? And if you are time tight or impatient like me, you can push the YouTube bar to 1 hour 19 minutes of the YouTube and you will get to where Chi-Wai is going to talk about serving two masters. And I think it's worth listening to that again just so that we know that when it comes to money, when it comes to our worship of God, we can only serve one master. Now, when you are finished with that, I will also encourage you, once you have finished listening to Elder Chi Wai's sermon, you will remember to pay your taxes and your tithing, right? Then I suggest that you also tune in to Pastor Jeremy's excellent exposition on tithing and giving, how much to give. And he preached that on the 26th of May. This year. Again, I think you can move the bar to exactly 57 minutes of the video, and that's when the sermon starts, all right? Now, coming back to the Proverbs. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about money. How we earn, how we use it. In fact, there are no less than 130 references about money in the 31 chapters of Proverbs. Now, as part of this biblical book of wisdom, there are many verses on the practical aspects of money. And today, I've actually put it into the Proverbs Money Quadrant. I think you all have read many money books, right? Some of them will put this quadrant of money, all sorts of things. But I think this is the Proverbs Money Quadrant. So it's very simple. If you look at it, on the columns, you have income and expense, right? And then horizontal line, you have got what is desirable, and at the bottom, what is undesirable. So, let's move in. The first thing is, if you look at how Proverbs looks at it, what are the things that it says? Basically, if you look at all these verses, it says, if you want to have money, you want to earn money, you've got to work hard, and you've got to work honestly to gain wealth. There's no two ways about it. Okay? And when you have all the money, you've been blessed with the money, you've got to be generous with your money. Just because you have been blessed to be a blessing to others. So this is how the desirable aspects that the Proverbs are telling us what to do with our money. Now, the not-so-desirable thing will be, if you find hard to earn income, don't be greedy. Don't earn it wrongly. Don't oppress others. Again, there are multiple verses inside Proverbs that just talks about this. And if you still don't have enough money, don't get into debt. especially bad debt, okay? So, and I believe that most of us, if not all of us, already know this. It's quite common knowledge, and I think most of us are also practicing that to various extent today. But we still have a problem. And so that's the problem on how we position money. How we end up in our lives today, putting so much emphasis on money on a daily basis. And what's the problem? It's GDP. Now, from a macro perspective, the entire world's economy is measured purely from a money standpoint. And the definition, total market value of the goods and services produced by a country's economy during a specific period of time. So usually it's 1 year. Now, GDP was first conceived in the 40s, 1941, if I'm not mistaken. And it was during World War II in the UK as a form of calculation to fund the war. Because the UK has got so many countries under them and they're fighting the war from so many fronts, they say that, can we afford to fight this war? Where will the money come? And they formulated this calculation, which is the GDP, to see if they could actually balance out their the amount of money that they have in order to fund the war. And it was meant to be a temporary, it was not meant to be forever. But when the war was over, and in the 50s, the United Nations was formed, the United Nations decided to establish a system of national accounts, and this is to allow countries to compare and measure their economies. And this new system of national accounts gave a prominent position to GDP calculations. Now, these problems and limitations of course, using GDP as a yardstick to measure a country's wellness was already well known. In fact, back in the 60s, JF Kennedy says this, GDP measures everything except that which makes life worthwhile. You see, GDP only counts human activities that involve the exchange of money. Without any consideration of the social value of those exchanges or even the concept of a national capital account. Now, there are many other important factors in life that is equally important. Peacefulness, environmental protection, family bonding, all these things cannot be measured using GDP. But in our lives today, our economy today, when we look at it, we say that, oh, the GDP is high, then the country is good. But is that true? Now, let's consider this. If there is a major environmental calamity, and that generates, because of that, it generates billions of dollars for repairs, medical bills, funeral costs, social care that comes out from it, now that is deemed as beneficial to the country from a GDP perspective. The example will be this. In 2010, the largest environmental disaster happened, and that was the BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. It was the largest ever. Right? It was a deep horizon, it was a deep well, it wasn't sealed, it couldn't be, it broke, and multiple millions of gallons of oil was just pumped out into the Gulf of Mexico, right? The animals were affected. So many animals were affected. The country's shorelines across the Gulf of Mexico, they were affected. Now, the cleaning of that was worth more to GDP economically than the carbon absorption provided by the Amazon rainforest. Is that a good thing? Surely that cannot be a good thing, right? Now, this really highlights the faults of GDP, but it has become such a pervasive measure that societal happiness is equated to, right? And I just suppose the biggest flaw is that it's not counting what makes us happy, what makes us satisfied. It's only measuring our consumption. And not all consumption are good for us. If you had a car accident and you went to the hospital, that is actually good for GDP because you had to buy a new car. You could spend money in the hospitals. But it is actually negative for you physically, emotionally, financially. So the GDP does not take into account the sustainability of the resources as well. Whether those consumption is actually good for the overall, for your neighbors, for your society, for the country. It does not. As long as it makes the money move, it is good. That's how GDP is measured. It has made money everything. It has made money everything. But money isn't everything. I hope you are all in agreement with me, right? Money isn't everything, right? Yes, money isn't everything. Let's turn back to the book of Proverbs and see what money cannot do. And there are many. I do not know if we managed to pick out all of them, but I've grouped them all from its impact from our inner being to our outer expression. Money, number one, does not satisfy us. Proverbs 23, 4 to 5. I've taken all this thing from the New Living Translation. Don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. Be wise enough to know when to quit. In the blink of an eye, wealth disappears, for it will sprout wings and fly away like an eagle. Money is inferior to wisdom. Proverbs 8, 10 to 11. Choose my instruction rather than silver, and knowledge rather than pure gold. For wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with it. Verses 18 to 19. I have riches and honor, as well as enduring wealth and justice. My gifts are better than gold, even the purest gold. My wages better than sterling silver. Money is inferior to righteousness. Verses 10, chapter 10, verse 2. Tainted wealth has no lasting value, but right living can save your life. Proverbs 11, 4. Riches won't help on the day of judgment, but right living can save you from death. 16, verse 8. Better to have little with godliness than to be rich and dishonest. 28, verse 6. Better to be poor and honest than to be dishonest and rich. Money is inferior to humility, the way we act. Better to live humbly with the poor than to share plunder with the proud. Money is also inferior to the fear of the Lord. Better to have little with fear for the Lord than to have great treasure and inner turmoil. Money cannot satisfy us in meaningful ways. Just like GDP calculations cannot adequately capture the things that makes life worthwhile. So what are the things that we could change? There are three things I would like to address on how we could make changes. The first is parents or grandparents now, right? So I think we should be, as parents or grandparents, we should be consistent in teaching our children what money is. Money is a tool. It's something we use. And we will have to teach our children that to seek God first, always, all the time. But sometimes we teach that. We send our children to Sunday school and they teach that. You know, we bring our children to church, the pulpit preaches that. But the way we live our lives sometimes does not teach that, right? I have two children now in the US. And I met so many people when they know that, oh, your children in the US, they're not coming back, right? Are they going to stay over? Then my next question is, oh, why do they want to stay there? Oh, because it's better. Why is it better? The money is better. Of course, for the last 1 year plus, you know, you look at the ringgit and the US dollar, it's a shambles, lah, right? But of course, in the last 2 months, I'm a happy man. But everybody says that. And of course, it's understandable if they are non-believers and they tell you that. But I get just as many Christians, both from other churches, as well as from our church, saying the same thing to me. You know, oh, it's better there, you know, since they're there, they have a chance to be overseas, don't come back. But the point is this, where is God in the picture? You see, it's very subtle. It's just the way we just say it, the way we tell our children, oh, I think you study there, get a job there, you know, find a spouse there, just stay, settle there, good place. But where is God in the picture? Where in the place that when we communicate, when we converse with our children, we talk about God first? If you forgot about that, I suggest you go and listen to Elder Chiu's sermon again on not serving two masters, okay? So I think we need to look at ourselves, parents and grandparents. Can we learn to trust our children in the hands of God? All right. I think we cannot go on and control and say that, no, we are so worried about your future. I think you need to marry rich. I think you need to study very hard so that you will earn more money. Not every children, not every of our kids can do well in school. Not every one of them can make a lot of money. But every one of them can love God fully. And we need to trust God. We need to show them that as parents that we can trust God, that they can trust God, right? I think afterwards, if some of you see me next time, you're probably not going to ask me, is my children going to stay over in US, right? You know what my answer is going to be. Okay, that's the application for us as parents. Then as a community, as a church, what can we do? How can we look at things differently? Just now, Elder Chien talks about we embarking on this reimagining PJEFC over the next 5 years. Maybe sometimes as collectively, when we look at that, we also need to look at how we can improve our natural resource utilization. Should we become more eco-friendly? It costs money. It will. It costs money to look after the environment. It costs money to look after another person, of course. As a church, I think we always know that we will cost money. That's why we use money, we set budgets to how to help people. But it's not just people that we are going to help. As a steward of this land, we also need to resolve the natural resources issue, the natural calamity that we are facing. It will cost money. So when the time comes, right, if you do need to make this place a little bit more eco-friendly and we don't have enough money in the church, we will be asking you all. So please donate generously, okay? I'm not saying what's going to happen. I'm just saying that it could, right? Third group. I want to address people who are in business owners, entrepreneurs, people, you know. I think for us who are in business, we only look at the one bottom line, profit. But we know that profit, which is money alone, yes, it's important, you know, we manage it well, we try to have more money, and it's better. But I think it would be better if we could look at it from a slightly different lens. Many years ago, I think many business school talks about the triple P bottom line. Planet, people, profit. Okay? So, of course, the only one that we can really measure is profit, because that's easy to count. But people is equally important, and so is planet. I think as business leaders, as owners, we need to look at ways to adopt or support more eco-friendly material and sustainable materials. We need to do that. And it must come from Christians, because we are God's stewards of this planet. You know, are we prepared to earn slightly less for the good of the planet? Are we prepared to earn slightly less if we invest more in people development? Not just the technical side so that they can help the company and earn more money. Of course, that's the target, but also the social skills so that they can build a healthier work environment and a healthier home environment for their families. Help build people in every ways. I think we need to look at it and say, yes, that is money, but that is not my final measurement of how successful we are. We need to look at money and say that, how can I use it to advance God's kingdom, to make this place better, to make people better? Now, since I've highlighted so much about the inadequacy of GDP, is there an alternative? Is there somewhere else we can look at and see how countries are doing? Well, the answer is yes. There is a Global Peace Index. You can Google it, you'll find it. Okay. So the GPI uses 23 qualitative and quantitative indicators from various sources, and they measure the state of peace in each country across three areas. They look at societal safety and security, how safe your neighborhoods are. They look at whether there are the ongoing domestic or international conflict in the country. They look at the degree of militarization in your country. And of course, they have shown that data that when a society gets more peaceful, real GDP improves. Now, this is real positive GDP, because this is not GDP because there's a war. That's not GDP because there is bad things happen in the country. These are positive GDP. And for that, I would like to highlight that Malaysia is among the top 10 most peaceful country in the world. So if you're thinking of asking your kids, of any of you asking your kids to go to some other countries, just know US is worse off. US is 140-something. In fact, Malaysia is even more peaceful than Australia. I'm sorry, Melissa, but you're going to a less peaceful country. So when we look at GPI, there are other ways to do it. And I think these are better ways to do it. Now, of course, we cannot predict with certainty what's going to happen tomorrow. And I think this is the thing that we have no control. And this uncertainty, this fear is what drives us to say that, maybe certain places is better, maybe we should move. But the Bible teaches us to learn to number our days and not to worry about tomorrow. We let tomorrow take care of itself. We take care of today, what we can do now, today, in our place. In concluding the series of Proverbs, I think these verses here encapsulate how we should live our days on earth. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 10. At the end of all the things I think that we've learned the last few weeks, including today, when we talk about money, I think we need to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. Do not depend on our own understanding. Never depend on our own understanding alone. Seek His will in all we do, and He will show us which path to take. Don't be impressed by our own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then we will have healing for our body and strength for our bones. Honor the Lord with our wealth and with the best part of everything that we produce. Then He will fill our barns with grain, and our vats will overflow with good wine. I think this is the message that we need to embrace closely. Right? Put God first. As I invite the worship team to come up for our ending for closing song. You know, just like the story of Jerry Maguire, when he realized that he alone could not do the things that he wanted to do. Somebody was there with him. Therefore, when he went back to her, he said that, you know, you complete me. I think the question we have to ask here is, will we let God complete us? Will we allow God to complete us? No, remember, we are first and foremost sons and daughters of God. We are not alone. There are times that I've got up and I look at my mirror when I was younger, when I have so much trouble, and I look at myself and say, who am I? I'm first and foremost a son of God. Then I'm a husband, a parent, okay? A son, a brother, a friend, a colleague. But first and foremost, we must tell ourselves we are son and daughter of God. And Jesus said this in John chapter 14, verses 26 to 27. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you, to your remembrance, all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. That's what Jesus says. Peace. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I think the ending song is a song called Who You Say I Am. As we sing the last song, let us meditate and ask, who are we in the sight of God? Let's draw strength from Him so that we can overcome this issue, this global issue that everybody faces, that we put so much effort onto just money. We make money everything. And it cannot be everything. Money cannot be everything. But God must be our everything.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, make disciples.